It's the internet. You're busy. Let's do this. Welcome to the Games Beat Decides podcast. This is the podcast where we decide everything that's happening in the world of video games so you don't have to think for yourself. I'm your host, Jeffrey Grubb. With me is...
Mike Minotti. I'm scooching in. I'm like, I'm too far away.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it look like I'm in your bedroom with you. Is it working? Can you see that?
Trying to make it look like...
Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't break the illusion. I'm right here with you.
That's right.
I'm going to smooch you. Mwah. That beautiful bald head. I love it. In today's news, in today's episode, we're going to go over some news. I put a lot of news in there. And Mike, I'm hoping what you will do is be like, we don't have to talk about this.
Oh, I always do.
So, yeah, you can help me out there.
Let's talk about I want to talk about. What things did I write? Yes, that'll be good. Okay.
I put some of those in there. I put some of those in there for sure. We got some games as well. First of all, I want to thank everybody for joining us. You can get more from me and Mike at gamesbeat.com. If you have something to share with us, you can email the podcast at games+podcast@venturebeat.com or get us on Twitter at GBDecides or at gamesbeat for the site itself. If you're watching this on Mixer, or if you're listening later on the website, you can subscribe to the audio version of this show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. And then I want to say thank you to Carlos Ayn, who is in Sand in the Rain Music on YouTube for the use of our theme song. Finally, if you like the show, you could support us by either rating us on one of those services I mentioned earlier or going to anchor.fm/gamesbeat-decides to support us financially. You can find a link to that if you go to the show notes by like swiping on the album art on your podcast player. Mike, what were you giggling about?
I was looking at your news to see what dumb things I can get rid of, and I don't want to like give anything away, but you know, Garfield makes an appearance.
So I don't know. There's something about that Garfield kart racer for $30. I think it's a full game.
I'm into like talking about Garfield now. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
Something to look into.
Okay. So yeah. Should we just talk about Fire Emblem right up top?
It's
something people want to talk about.
Basically, I'm like, you know, Assassin's Creed World of Warcraft, which again I'm always playing. That's basically what I'm playing is Fire Emblem.
Yeah. Same here. I did not mean to play as much of it as I've ended up playing. I've played quite a bit. I'm like keep reminding myself, oh, I need to play these other games, and then I just keep going back to Fire Emblem. I mean, the Switch makes it so easy. I can play it in any situation, so I am. But boy, it's a good game. It's a really good game.
Are you still in Chapter 1?
I think so. I think that's what
you would know if you were in Chapter 2.
Yeah. I mean, there's like... They like have like sections, and there's like an intro with like the little movies and stuff.
Yeah.
But those don't seem like they're the big chapter breaks. Those are
No. There's only two chapters to give you.
Right. Okay. So. Definitely not. Then definitely not. I'm playing it on hard. We talked about this, and I did what we said. I'm playing it on hard with no revives. What is it like?
No permadeath.
Yeah, with permadeath. I am playing.
With permadeath.
Yes. Yeah. So. And I think this was the right call because you said it was too easy. It still feels like with those three rewinds you get that let you go back to any point in the match. I have had to restart like twice, but most of the time that's because I've been a dumbass with those rewinds and I like rewound to the wrong point and just kind of wasted them.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. But, you know, that said, it's like I feel like I'm really kind of trying to use all of my previous Fire Emblem and Advanced Wars knowledge to keep these characters alive. And I'm not sure exactly what's different. I think I will go back at some point and try to play on normal to see like what the challenge there is. But it's been satisfying.
I'm doing my New Game Plus right now, which is shocking because I never do New Game Plus for anything. But because you have the three houses and I found out just like how different it can be, I'm like, I want to do that. Plus on New Game Plus, I can do hard mode. So I'm kind of seeing a bit of difference. Now, it's still easier, I think, than New Game Plus. Hard mode is easier than just doing hard mode because I get some New Game Plus things that help, some carryovers and some new features. But in general, like the biggest difference is in normal mode, there's a lot of just like one unit always consistently killing another unit. Mm-hmm. Right? Like most fights are just like this thing, go attack that. That's an innocent death. And at least so far, early on, at least, like it's not that easy. I can't just put this one unit up front and just kind of wait for everyone to come crashing against them and they're going to just die. There's a bit more going on, which I'm enjoying actually. So
yeah, it's that's exactly what's been okay. So that makes a lot of sense. I've I have no character that can just go in there and wipe up everyone. I have to, any enemy, even like the most basic enemies, it's going to take a combination of kind of like, this has kind of been the overall strategy I've used. I want to like get into their danger zone to make them want to like come out of their shell and actually come towards us to try to attack us. So I'm baiting them or kiting them over. Then once I have like a couple of them there, I just sort of swarm them with everyone that I have. Right. And it takes, you know, it takes three or four attacks to take out anyone. There's very, very rarely is it a one hit kill. I got a couple characters who are getting more powerful, who are getting like heroic weapons. But even then it's still like at best, it's going to take two swipes. And so it's a lot of getting characters to work together and, you know, making sure I have like magic people and archers backing up people up front. And it's just been super satisfying. I'm enjoying having to think about these battles really intensely. And I found that what my concern was, you know, my life is busy. I do have kids happening all the time. And so if I get into a situation where I'm trying to like read a book, it's hard to concentrate because like I'll get a couple sentences in and something will happen and distract me. And then I'll have to go back and I'll kind of forget where I was.
Right.
And I was afraid the same thing was going to happen in Fire Emblem. And I'm like, is this a mistake to play on hard? Is it going to be a problem? And what I found is it's really good at giving you all of the information you need at any one time. And then again, if you do mess up, you have those three rewinds. So it's like I can sort of learn by trial and error if I have to, if I'm in a really tough situation. But most of the time it's like, if you put this character here, we're going to show you that character over here. This red line means they're going to get attacked. And so if you have like a lot of enemies in one place, and you know, like if I leave that one character there, they're going to get hit by four people. Well, maybe the best strategy is I can figure out who to put into that danger zone so that every single character is just taking one hit.
Right.
So it's kind of spreading out the damage.
That's interesting because that's something I'm doing right now in hard mode that I did not have to think about too much. Because before, it wouldn't be a problem if I had like six enemies attack like my one beefy character. It was fine. And right. Now it's more like, how am I positioning people so that, yeah, they're kind of spreading out the hits.
Yeah. And it's been, I've never played a game like on hard mode to start. And I'm really glad I did it with this. It's been, again, I can't put it down. I don't think I'm too far. I'm trying not to spoil it for people who haven't. But there was like a character who was using a heroic weapon who shouldn't have been, and then something happened to him, and that's the fight I just did.
Yes.
So so I feel like I'm still pretty early, but it just gets more interesting every battle. It gets. I'm getting way into the actual persona parts, the teacher parts, where I'm like trying to figure out how to instruct these students in the best way possible. It's all really, I don't know. It's just so good.
What, how do you feel about your house, your blue boys and girls?
I'm getting more and more attached to them for sure. In my playthrough, at least, the racism hasn't bubbled up so far, so it's been easier to like.
Yeah, my brother was doing it. I think he's even a little behind you, and he's like, yeah, I don't know what people are talking about yet, but maybe it's coming.
I'm sure I'll find out. Yeah, and I did. I heard that there was like, you know, the big turn, and that this character has a darkness. The leader of the blue house, Dimitri. I heard, oh, he's got the darkness within him. When they were talking about the houses in the trailer, I hadn't actually seen the picture from like the time jump that happens until just like yesterday. And now I'm really glad I picked him because he looks wild. He looks really like he's been through the shit. And I'm like, okay, I have to find out what happened here. Cause he's not like that at all right now. Right now he's Mr. like prim royalty who is proper. And he's like he has emotions, but he's also got that stiff upper lip. Like, oh, we're just going to deal with this.
And, he's almost like the generic Final Fantasy, Fire Emblem good guy.
Yes, exactly. And that is very different from what I've seen. And I cannot wait to see where it goes. You know, there's, you know, the Sylvain character who's like the horny guy. It's okay. Like, hopefully we get to a point where you're not this horny guy anymore. Cause that's a bit much. It's like,
maybe he'll finally get laid at some point.
Exactly.
Calm down a bit.
Yeah. Yes, it has not happened so far. He's like, someone's like, a girl goes missing, and it's like this really serious moment. And he's like, well, I'll find her. I'm great at chasing girls. You know that. And it's like, everyone's like, okay, shut the fuck up. Quit right now. So,
what's funny about him is on my New Game Plus, I'm playing as the female main character now because I didn't male the first time. And you know how like you can recruit people from other houses? I'm doing Golden Deer this time. If you're male and you try to recruit Sylvain, it'll be like anything else. It'll be like, you know, oh, you have to have Lance and, you know, cavalry skills up high. If you're the female Byleth, he will just immediately join you. Which is kind of amazing.
That's really funny. Oh, I love that shit.
Just be like, yeah, I'll go. Yeah, it'll be great.
Yeah, I'm loving all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to get Petra to join my team.
Oh, Petra's great.
Because she's great. Yeah, she's cool. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the kind of character. I'm like, oh, I could see my Byleth going with that character eventually. I'm going to marry her someday. but, you know, we're not at that point yet. I'm just still trying to get her to join my house. I haven't convinced anyone to join my house yet. I think everyone knows the Blue Lions suck. So it's a bit tough.
Yeah, I mean, in my first playthrough, I only did it with, like, one character. It's not that big a deal. I mean, in a way, I almost don't like it because, yes. I mean, it's not like those people are suddenly a part of cutscenes or anything. And, like, so much of it, of the game to me, is, like, your house and those characters in it. Mm-hmm. So just kind of, like, being like, you can take this person, too, if you want. I'm like, eh.
I was definitely feeling like, how dare you take Felix from the, like, people were talking like, oh yeah, he's the OP sword guy, and I'm gonna go recruit him to my house so I have him on my team, that'll be great. I'm like, I have to actually play as the Blue Lions to get him. How dare you leave him alone?
Yes. See, I haven't done Blue Lions yet, and all I know about Felix is that he's always mean to me.
Yeah, he's mean to everyone always. Like, he's just got an attitude, he's always just training, and he's super powerful in battle. Like, if I'm sure that he would be the one that on normal mode would have been like, just put him out front. Anyone that comes attacks him, he's just going to counterattack and kill them instantly. So,
for the Black Eagles, that's just Idlegard. She's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Her stats are insane.
Dimitri's kind of like he's a stronger, on the stronger side of the mid tier. He's not going to go stand out front like Idlegard.
It's weird because doing Golden Deer, it's weird because, like, their main person's an archer. So it's like, okay, yeah, I actually don't want to necessarily send you out front. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who has a sword? Who has a lance here? You go.
That's been my like, what I've been curious about. Like, it says, like, oh, the Golden Deer, they're like, focuses archery. How does that manifest? Is it just that the main guy does archery, or are there a lot of archers in that?
No, it's just, I mean, when they say a focus, it means like they have like two main ones and like another character, like other characters who are adept at it. It's not like insane. Like, you know, like most of the houses maybe have one archer, and this one has two. Same thing with Black Eagles; they're like, they focus on magic. It meant like to start, they had like two magic users really, instead of just like one. So something like absolutely crazy. And through the teaching and everything, you can morph them into whatever you sort of need it to be, really. But yeah, starting out, it is more archers for sure.
I don't know. I'm gonna keep playing it, but I really am loving it. It's kind of like shooting right up to the top of my game of the year list at this point of the year. It seems like it's the game that is kind of, it really is pushing it over the top in terms of like where it ranks in Nintendo. Like, it's going to be up there with like Animal Crossing. I think people are going to be like, oh yeah, Mario and Zelda, and then Metroid maybe, and then Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem as these like top tier Nintendo games. It seems like it's selling well. People are talking about it a ton. It's really kind of, it's pushing me over the top
of
like how I feel about the series as well. I'm like, I kind of want to finish this game and then go play a bunch of other Fire Emblems.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm like, I need to go play the Sacred Stones now. And like,
yeah, exactly.
I am really interested to see like how, like what is the number? Is this like a Fire Emblem game that can sell 5 million? Is it one that can sell 10? Maybe 10 seems crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, it does seem like a lot, but I mean, who knows?
But to give you an idea, the best-selling Switch game right now is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe at just about 20 million. Right. And then there's, like, other ones kind of, like, in that 15 million range, like, 15 to 20 million range, your Mario Odyssey's Breath of the Wild and Smash Brothers.
Right. Speaking of Smash Brothers, I believe a new character dropped.
Yeah, we have playing Hero. It, right? Hero. It's so weird to just call him Hero.
Yeah, it is weird.
It's not like it's his name, like in that show with the superheroes where the guy was literally named Hero. It's like H-I-R-O, and they're being cute. No, right. It's just, well, this is, you know, because it's like it's like four different Dragon Quest main characters, and you can pick, which is pretty neat because they all are like really nice looking models. And if I was really into Dragon Quest, I bet I'd be super stoked about that. So that's the weird thing is, as much as I love JRPGs, Dragon Quest has never really been my thing, at least yet. But the character is pretty fun. It's weird how RPG-ness they got into it. Like, the down B move is you open a JRPG spell menu, and there's like, I don't know, let's say maybe there's like 20 or so total spells, but there's like four that will randomly show up there, and you like scroll through and pick one, and they'll do everything from like a one move that will like just like amp up some of your stats, one spell that'll make you faster, to spells that'll like shoot out, you know, like a fireball or make you explode and kill anybody like near you, like crazy stuff like that. And you actually have MP and it slowly regenerates, so you can't just spam this stuff. So it's mm-hmm. it's pretty interesting. He's kind of like a bit of a randomness character, because it's like, what spells do you get when you do that? Also, he has a chance for his like smash attacks to be critical hits, and if it's a critical hit, that's really good. Like, kills people pretty quickly.
That I mean, that's pretty neat. How do you feel about it?
I think I'm fine. I think there's some people who are not happy about some of the randomness of it, but then other people are like, this is so interesting and unique, we don't really care. I think it depends on how competitive you are, I suppose. Right. Like, maybe it'll be a problem at some point that has to be nerfed a bit, but right now I think most people are just into how different this character is. Like, when I first saw him, my worry was, oh, cool, another character with a sword. And the character is yes. much more focused on the magic aspects and less so on that. Like, most of the special moves are all magic-based. Like, the sword is, like, you know, just the neutral attacks and stuff, but it's not really the core of the character. They did a good job making the character feel unique and special.
So, how many DLC characters are left now? Three or two?
Three. We have Banjo-Kazooie for sure, and then two right. more. I assume it'll be another, like, kind of Western-themed one, Eastern-themed one. Kind of like, you know, because like Dragon Quest is one that's probably more exciting for people in Japan, whereas Banjo-Kazooie right. more exciting for Europe and America. So, yeah, I'm curious to see what's next. I still think Doomguy makes sense for like the next kind of Western one, with how yeah. kind of important Doom and just those like Bethesda shooters have gotten on Switch. And then like for the next like Japanese flavored one, I feel like it's gonna be something real freaking weird that like you won't see coming. So who knows? Something bizarro. I can't even imagine anymore. Like, there's some safe right. guesses you can make. Like, I don't know, Leon Kennedy from Resident Evil, or I don't know. What is there like a main character in Dark Souls? Not really, because you just make person.
It would be like Hero. It would be like the same thing there.
Right. I mean, it's a possibility.
There's some, but and all the default models are really weird.
Right. So the Dovahkiin could, if it was Dovahkiin from like Skyrim, I would not be shocked.
No, you're right. It makes a lot of sense. I don't know. I kind of gave up on Smash Brothers a long time ago. I don't know. I want to kind of maybe get back in there when Banjo drops, but we'll see. It's one of those games where I really feel like once I put it down, I need to recommit myself when I come back, because I'm just going to come back in and not have a great time if I try to get online and play. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. And you know, you just played like the one-on-one, the custom mode.
Online. No, I don't have time for Nintendo's crappy online things. And just right. even like yeah. good fighting games playing online can sometimes just be so sketchy, because like the smallest bit of lag makes it such a miserable experience.
Right.
Let alone on like Switch with absolutely no like, you know, Ethernet. You know, you have to be doing it on Wi-Fi, and it's Nintendo, so it's not great. No thanks.
Yep. Only other thing I've been playing is it's called A Short Hike, and it is this really interesting 3D platformer. It looks a lot like Animal Crossing. And it was like really lo-fi graphics where the pixels are big and chunky. Kind of like, it looks a little bit like a PlayStation or an N64 game. And you play as like a little crow, a little bird who can run around, and your goal is to climb to the top of this mountain on this island. And as you're climbing around, as you're exploring, you collect these gold feathers, and these gold feathers enable you to do double jumps and then triple jumps. And depending on how many of these feathers you have, you can do it as many jumps as that. They also increase your stamina while climbing. But at any time, whether you have these gold feathers or not, when you press A to jump and you hold it down, you begin to glide, and you glide, you know, as long, you know, for a very long time until you hit the ground. It's just like this really powerful move, and it makes exploring feel really, really great. And I just couldn't stop playing it when I picked it up. I'm like, I'm just going to try this, cause I like the way it looks. It looks interesting to me. And And then once, as soon as I started doing that glide move, I'm like, whoa, this feels great. I just want to keep playing this. And I ended up doing probably like 4 or 5 hours. And you know, it really is set up like almost like Animal Crossing, where you're talking to these other animals and they sound like they have that blah, 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 sound effect, like kind of like Banjo-Kazooie, but mostly like Animal Crossing. And it's just about collecting stuff and going on quests, and you know, you go fishing, and you later on you find out like what the fish that you go that you gather are actually for, what they can do for you. And I'm really enjoying it. I did get to the top of the mountain, and it felt like that was like, oh, that's the big thing. And then the game sort of just kept going, and I'm like, wait, is there more? Am I supposed to be doing something else? Is there like a larger goal? I'm still having fun exploring. I'm still having fun like powering up my character and getting more of these golden feathers. I just don't know what my aim is at this point. And it, you know, if it's just like this little short game that's this really you know, condensed experience about doing this thing, and then it just lets you explore all you want, I'm fine with that. I just can't tell is my only thing. But yeah, I really recommend it. I think it's on PC right now, and I think it's on Mac, maybe Linux. But when it comes to Switch, I think people are going to like really discover it at that point and really get into it. And it should be a really good fit for that platform. Yeah, I think you would like it, Mike, by the way. So we'll chance, check it out.
Yeah, I'll give it a look-see.
All right. I'm going to go to news, and I don't care if you're ready or not.
I am ready, so there.
Damn it. All right, time Surprise. For some news, everybody. We're on Mixer right now, and the whole reason I like wanted to stream to Mixer is just because I was reminded it existed because Ninja has left Twitch to go to Mixer. I'm like, oh yeah, we have our own account on there. We should start doing that again. So yeah, the big news here though is that we're on Mixer. So we could just talk about that, right, Mike?
That's the news, yeah, that's for sure. That's what must be driving their traffic to record numbers today.
Exactly. So yeah, Ninja announced yesterday on Thursday, hey, I'm going to Mixer exclusively. It was kind of came out of nowhere. I don't think there were any rumblings that this was going to happen.
Absolutely out of nowhere, yeah.
Yeah, you know, clearly Microsoft gave them a lot of money to do this. Microsoft owns Mixer. They acquired it years ago, I think in like 2016 when it was called Beam, like Beam.pro. And since then, they've focused on growing it. They've really focused on the technology and integrating it with Xbox. That phase of Mixer is sort of over at this point because it is fully integrated. It'll probably have a lot of integration with xCloud. And the technology, like, you can only be so far ahead of Twitch because there's only so much you could do. Their big claim to fame early on was we have, you know, FTL servers where it's so fast that when you do something in a game on the stream, your audience is going to see it instantaneously and they can interact with you in real time. And this can be like really great for integrating into games and all this other stuff. Well, you know, Twitch is going to keep getting faster. It, like, its tech's going to improve too. And you can only get so fast before it's instantaneous. And Twitch is pretty much right there. It's right, almost the same as Mixer at this point. So then, you know, where do you go next? And it's content. You know, if Microsoft is serious about Mixer, which it seems like it is, you got to go out and get content just like Netflix and Hulu. And that has led them, you know, to the most obvious person to do a live stream. If you're going to pay a lot of money, you know, who is it? It's Ninja, who is still by far the biggest personality on Twitch. He did his first stream today from, I think he's still doing it while we're recording this, live from Lollapalooza, the music festival. He's got an audience behind him, and he's got, I think he said at one point, he said like 90,000 people all watching at one time. So that's right in line with what his audience size was on Twitch. So he hasn't really missed a beat so far. I don't know, Mike, what do you think about all this?
I think it's going to matter. I think that it's, you know, just shows Microsoft's, like, that's the crazy thing about Microsoft, right? If nothing else, they can just throw money at a problem like nobody else can. It's what they did when it became very clear that the Xbox brand was like really suffering in the exclusives department. They just spent the last couple of years just buying studios, just throwing money out forever, and now they can just do it in this live streaming way, and they did it the biggest way possible. They probably just threw like whatever price tag they needed to get Ninja to move over. And I think that's a big deal. I think that it immediately makes every single big streamer on Twitch realize, like, oh, wait, maybe Mixer is actually an option. It's making every single person think, oh, right, Mixer is not like some punchline, I guess, that's actually a thing. Ninja's on it. So yeah, I think it just gets everybody suddenly thinking about Mixer in a different light.
You know, and all of these big streamers, they have agents now going out and trying to make deals for them. And, you know, this signifies to everybody, hey, you don't have to settle for just like the subscriptions you get from Twitch. You don't have to settle for just the tips you get. You can go out and make a direct deal with another company like Microsoft and get money up front. Microsoft hasn't said how much they paid Ninja. Ninja isn't saying. The rumor right now is $50 million. I think that comes from like Tom Warren at The Verge, who's pretty tapped into Microsoft. But he says around $50 million. We don't know the time frame for that. I would imagine it's at least a year, probably longer than that if it's $50
million. If it was $50 million for a year, that would be absolutely bananas. But
right.
$50 million for anything, my God.
Mm-hmm. A lot of money.
Why wouldn't you leave Twitch if somebody said, here's $50 million? Like who could possibly have that much like brand loyalty to Twitch that they'd be like,
Like
who cares?
And sure, like you could say, of course it's going to have some people saying he's sold out and
sold out what, you know?
Yeah. So like, what? Like, yeah. Like he's like
Amazon.
No. Yeah, exactly. Like Amazon owns Twitch. It's a similar setup. I mean, people are going to be like, oh, Twitch made you, and the Twitch community made you. And you're betraying them. That's all pretty. That's great that you might think that. But pay him more money then.
Yeah.
I mean, just pay him more money then. If that's how you feel. If he's that valuable to you, you could say, oh, just do it. Do it for the love. No, do it for money. Like
there are things to criticize Ninja for, but I think taking the money here, no.
No,
I would have taken 1/1000th of that to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Without a doubt. And he's and what this is going to do is going to like it could raise the profile and it could raise the amount of money that streamers of all kinds can start to say like, oh, I want that going forward. And it could like sort of, you know, raise all boats is a overused phrase. And it's rarely ever true. But it comes to like bidding for content, I think there is some truth to it where, you know, Ninja's getting 50 million. I know I'm not as big as Ninja, but I have half as many viewers as him all the time, 25 million. I'm okay with that. People are going to start putting those ideas together and coming to Microsoft, maybe coming to YouTube and saying, hey, let's make this happen. You need content. I'm your content. That's a big deal. You're right. There's lots to criticize Ninja for still. When it comes to him personally, it's like, I hope Microsoft is going to be willing to like hold him to the fire about streaming with women and his comments about
stuff. All right, you need to have some girls on your stream.
Yeah, like, hey, we're paying you $50 million. Let's get real here. Stop being such a chode about this. We'll see. I don't know. Microsoft, in the end, just wants to make a profit, of course. But companies also see that, you know, making a profit often it goes hand in hand with being like good corporate citizens or whatever. So
I feel like it's going to be a thing where we're going to start hearing more of this about like your Dr. Lupos and Dr. Suspects. Why are they all doctors of the world like signing with these companies? Like this one's going to YouTube or this one's going to Mixer. Yep. This one's staying with Twitch. It's like baseball teams now.
Yeah, it really is.
I wish I knew what it was like at Twitch yesterday when this.
I know
when it was going. Like they can't be happy. It's not good news for them.
I can't imagine it caught Twitch completely off guard because when you get the offer from Mixer, if you're Ninja's agent, you go back to Twitch and say, okay, what can you counter with? Like, can you beat this? So someone at Twitch knew. I don't know. I would imagine it was probably it didn't leak, so I guess maybe not everyone knew, but I'm sure the top brass knew. But yeah, like it's like, oh yeah, we're in a fight now, and today I think the big thing was today. I bet Twitch was like, we've been through this before. MLG.TV was like trying to take, you know, esports leagues and content away from us by giving exclusive deals to streamers. I think the problem was MLG.TV was always smaller, always had less to spend because it was back then it was independent. It wasn't owned by Activision at that point. MLG.TV is now not a thing anymore. But you know, like they got like the exclusive rights to broadcast PewDiePie's podcast, right? Like they were trying to do similar things and Twitch, it didn't matter because Twitch had the community. people liked using Twitch. People discovered people through Twitch. They weren't just like loading up MLG.TV and being like, what am I going to find today? They were doing that with Twitch. And I bet there's people within Twitch who thought, you know what? $50 million, no way. We're trying to make this whole thing profitable. That's why, you know, we're doing less stuff with like, we're like raising prices on stuff. We're trying to make a profit.
Microsoft is often not that concerned about making profits with some of these things. They have the things that are making profits, so they can be like, gaming just isn't going to make money for 10 years as we like try to launch it, and that's okay. And
right, like
I think they feel the same way with Mixer. I mean, hell, there's no way they're going to be making money off of Mixer if they're paying Ninja $50 million for a while, right? I mean, it's going to take
time. But then, you know, today happens, and he's got 90,000 viewers, so it's not like people were like, oh, he's on Mixer. What's that? I don't understand. This, at least so far, people have followed him, and it seems, you know, it's real easy to sign up. It's real easy to subscribe.
Right. And I mean, a lot of people who do actually use Mixer seem to like it a lot of times. So.
Yeah.
They used to say that a lot of them are like, oh, this actually is better than Twitch. So, like, you know, it's very likely they might stick around.
Yeah,
interesting times.
Do you think the last thing about this, then we'll move on. Do you think that they will start making other deals? Or do you think that, like, they're like hoping that just having Ninja will legitimize it and kind of hope people follow after this?
I think maybe they're going to hold off for a little bit to see people follow. But like in 6 months or something, we might see more deals.
In our Mixer chat, Scratty has given us 100.
Scratty.
Yeah. What is this? I can't remember what they're actually called on Mixer, but they're on Twitch. They'd be called bits. And he also gave us pizza slices. So,
See, I know about the bits because of
power zaps. That's what I'll call them. I'm on brand with Mixer. Scratty says, bring me Ninja. I can't help you there. All right, the number two story is Super Nintendo World, and that's all I've written. And now you take it away, Mike.
There we go. This is one of the times where we're being so oddly tuned into the theme park world has helped me. Because it's like everybody who follows theme parks like knew that Universal's, like, they knew that about Universal's third theme park and how they've been making it for a while and how that's where Super Nintendo World is going. But it's like not a lot of video game people actually knew that. So the day before the announcement was going to happen, I was able to basically get in contact with one of the really big theme park kind of insiders and rumor spreaders and get ahead of it a little bit. But Universal's building their third theme park in Orlando. It's called somewhat redundantly Universal's Epic Universe. And yes, and all they announced was that, and they showed us the concept art. But the concept art alone confirms that this is where Super Nintendo World is going in Orlando, and it's going to be the biggest one. Like, they're building Super Nintendo World in Hollywood and in Osaka, Japan, but those are going to be kind of smaller versions. This is the one that's going to have all three of the rides that they've come up with, which is the Mario Kart ride, the kind of Yoshi family ride, and the Donkey Kong Country roller coaster. And like the Donkey Kong Country section is the one part that's not in the other Nintendo worlds. This is going to be like a little mini Donkey Kong Country land. Like, you'll be able to walk up to Funky Kong's plane even. Like, it's going to be
hell nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, it's so bizarre to me.
That's awesome.
It's like, yeah, like I posted the concept. There's leaked concept art that actually, it's leaked pictures of the model that they built for it. You can, like, see Funky Kong's plane. This coaster is interesting because it's using a ride technology where it looks like it's like the mine train levels in a Donkey Kong Country game.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like you're on that track, right? Like, that crappy, dilapidated track with, like, literal holes in it and you, like, jump it. You're actually on a track a good deal kind of below you. So it looks like at times you're jumping pieces of the track and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a really neat technology.
Yeah, that I mean, Funky Kong is it's such a wild universe we're in where that's even possible that someone would build that for a theme park. But I love it. Like, that's the kind of stuff. Like, if you're gonna do a Nintendo theme park and you do that kind of stuff, like, okay, guaranteed, I'll show up for that without a doubt. So I'm excited.
Nintendo is the most exciting thing they have for this new park, because the other lands that are likely gonna be there are one based off of How to Train Your Dragon. One based off of the classic Universal monsters, so like Dracula, the Mummy, that kind of stuff. And then
the dark cinematic universe.
No, like the OG stuff, which is much better, I think. And then one based on what's it called? Fantastic Beasts, the kind of newer Harry Potter right. thing, because Harry Potter has been like the that was the thing that really helped Universal kind of, start to close the gap with Disney. But, you know, Fantastic Beasts has been no Harry Potter. The last movie didn't even really do all that well.
Right.
How to Train Your Dragon. It did. It's, you know, it was pretty popular, but it's already kind of done. Universal Monsters old. Nintendo's like the big, really exciting thing. And I think they know it. Like, the original plan was for them to just put this, some of this Nintendo stuff in the existing theme park, the Hollywood Studios park, in like the old section that used, that's where like the Fievel water park area is. Like, that's still been there. They're going to get rid of that. Like, finally, and there's been like this Barney thing there too, like some really old kid themed stuff.
They're going to regret that when they start like catching up to Disney and be like, okay, here's the Fievel live action remake.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. But yeah, so, but then they're like, wait, no. People are really excited about this Nintendo stuff, maybe even more so than we realize. We can use this to help launch a whole new theme park. And that's what's going to be. And if you look at the concept art they released, there's a giant green space next to Nintendo Land that's an expansion pad. And that's where anything else can go, even like a Zelda section or,
right.
or whatever they decide to do.
Right, but that would be like, so this is like
phase when two.
They like stage that and like, okay, we can decide what that could be later because we have so much work to do now. Is that kind of how that works?
Well, it's a bit of that, but a part of it is just, you know, this stuff's going to get people into the turnstiles when it opens, mm-hmm. and then like 3 years from now or whatever, we need something new to get people to come back. I mean, that's just theme park stuff. There's constantly need to get more things. Like, so there's always phase two plans, phase three plans, and those usually change constantly, so who knows what's going to happen. But they always make, you know, it's interesting with this park because you can so distinctly see like the literal like pizza slices of land where like the next things are going to go. But that's it's, now, it's gonna be a weird park because the rumor is that, I mean, if you look at the concept art, you see a lot of open space, and the idea may be that instead of like traditional lines, it's all like reservation system based. So there's a lot of you kind of like walking around these big open spaces, or at least going to these like smaller interactive playgrounds or whatever, instead of just standing around in lines all the time. You can even a hotel in like the middle section at the one end of it. It's crazy.
Is there any reason a reservation system doesn't work at these things? It seems like it seems like that needs to be the future, right?
It is. The Universals and Disney have been experimenting with it in different ways. Universal has, when they built their Jimmy Fallon simulator, which is a funny sentence to say, it has this virtual queue system where instead of like really being in a line, and there are some moments where you wait in a line, you kind of go in, you almost like get your reservation, and then as you wait, you kind of look through this Tonight Show museum and stuff, and then they'll kind of like call your group, like your color or whatever, and then you go in. And then they built a water park, Volcano Bay, a couple years ago, and it's pretty much all reservation based too, where you like you have this kind of it's like a weird item, you have like this weird waterproof item, it's called like a Tongo Tongo or something, it's I think it's a wristband or something, and that's basically how you do all your reservation stuff. So
and the police, like the park police that hunt down childless millennials, do you think that'll be Koopa Troopas or Goombas?
That's a Shy Guy move for sure.
Okay, so childless millennial hunting Shy Guys. Okay, yeah, I liked it. Yeah. I could see
how
that.
Dare you have fun? Yeah, that'd be the fun police.
Yep, exactly. I'm like getting real excited about any theme park because my kids are just kind of slowly getting old enough to do that right. kind of stuff. We're actively saving up. And I'm definitely like, okay, yeah, we'll go to Disney, but I'm hoping maybe we could time it with some of this Nintendo stuff. Did you say like, what is the timeline?
The rumor is like 2023 is when this would be done.
Okay. Damn. Well, that's a while. We'll see. All right. We talked about this a little bit earlier, Fire Emblem Three Houses, sales. We did get some numbers out of the UK. So UK kind of gives a little bit more information than other places. It launched as number one there. The physical version of the game has sold out at places like GameStop. People are struggling to find the physical version. But in the UK, they were able to say that it doubled the launch sales of Fire Emblem Awakening in 2013, which I think that tracks with kind of the Switch is selling really well. You know, this feels like the first true real leap forward follow up from Fire Emblem Awakening. It's been a long time, so people have built up excitement, and all that good faith and that good favor that the series has built up has paid off here.
Right, and I think Fates did sell more than Awakening. It's kind of confusing, yes, though, because Fates was technically like two or three games.
Right.
So yeah, and I'm sure that the other one, Echoes, probably didn't sell as much, but that was kind of a weird remake thing people were a little confused about. So yeah, the trajectory has definitely been upward anyways. Plus, we've had Fire Emblem Heroes, which has to do something, right? Otherwise, what's been the point of the mobile stuff? Aside, I guess it just makes money on its own, but you would hope that it could expand audiences.
That's been the Nintendo's claim, is like, oh, it's all about that. So maybe.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, there's no reason to... I think everyone expects this to be the best-selling Fire Emblem game ever. Like, you know, there's no reason why it shouldn't be.
And Scratty Bones in chat says, "Put Ninja in Fire Emblem." There's already enough ninjas. We don't need that. So EA reported its earnings. We wrote a couple stories about that. We're not going to like go over all of that. I just wanted to point out that they said Apex Legends still has 8 to 10 million weekly players. So, you know, at one point, right after launch, it got up to 50 million people in the first month. It sounds like it's still, you know, it's chugging right along and doing right. Fine, it's, at 8 to 10 million.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, it's not like a Team Fight Tactics or Fortnite gigantic thing, but that's still plenty of people.
Yes. Yeah, it makes it one of the biggest games in the world. It's not right. The biggest, but among those.
I think a lot of people have been kind of like a bit apocalyptic about Apex. I was like, oh, it was like popular and now it's dead. If it's getting 8 to 10 million weekly players, then it's doing fine.
Right. And that's you know, it's easy to just work backwards from looking at like Twitch's most viewed games or whatever. But those swings are so big because if like one person like Ninja stops playing a game and plays something else, it's like that's 90,000 people right there. That's a huge swing. That's enough to put a game from the top 10, you know, out of the top 10. So yeah. We also got some numbers from Sony and Nintendo. Let's start with Sony. The PlayStation 4 has officially shipped 100 million units. That's not sold through, but it is going to sell through 100 million units at some point soon. But this is 100 million total shipped to retailers. You know, that puts it, I think it's the fastest console ever to do that. It puts it ahead of PlayStation 2 and Wii. The fact that it's maintained this trajectory, Mike, it makes me want to ask you, do you think that the PlayStation 4 is going to continue this and get to the point where we're talking about it selling as many units as the PlayStation 2 overall, which hit 155 million over, you know, what, 9 to 10 years or whatever it was?
Yeah, it's weird to say no, but like, no, like, even though it's, projecting doing better at this point or at their point. We saw last generation that once the PlayStation 4 came out, sales for the PlayStation 3 just died immediately, and I don't see how that's not going to happen again. We know PlayStation 5 is probably, next holiday? Like, that's a year, basically, that PlayStation 4 has to sell 50-something million units. I don't think it's happening. Unless there's suddenly a really cheap one that they make,
yeah, that but they somehow don't do that moves anymore.
A bunch of them. They don't do that anymore. So I have
like, there's never going to be a $99 PlayStation 4.
No.
It doesn't make sense. And I think that this is something we talked about years ago, not on the podcast, but just at GamesBeat overall. The reason PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 sales dropped off a cliff is because those companies didn't see any reason to do like the $150, $99 model, because anyone who had waited that long to buy a console, they were just putting their money towards iPads and new smartphones. And that audience is actually gone. People were apocalyptic overall about like, oh, consoles, this is going to be the last generation of consoles. Sony didn't even believe in the PlayStation 4. And it's because they thought like everyone was like the mobile gamers and they were all just moving on to iPad. That was clearly not the case. There is a hungry audience for controller-based video games, and that's going to continue right along. But they are the people who are going to be there on day one. They're going to pay a lot of money for a new console. They're the kind of people who buy a mid-tier or a mid-cycle upgrade halfway through the generation. But the people who would have bought the $99, the $150 console, you know, 6 or 7, 8 years after originally came out, at least in the United States and Europe and especially in Japan, they're just not there anymore. That audience is gone. So I agree with you. It's not going to be the PlayStation 2. No way.
No, it's not going to happen. I don't know how that happens again anymore, to be honest.
Yeah, it just doesn't. It's just, I mean, that's fine. Like, there's still plenty of money. I mean, you know, and again, like, we weren't going to dive into this too much, but like, PlayStation's revenues are higher than ever. They did drop year over year, but this is still the second highest year ever for PlayStation division's revenue.
And they have services now, which was not a thing during PlayStation 2
subscriptions. Era. Yeah, they're making money from Fortnite. Take a 30% of every Fortnite sale on their console. Like, these things have padded out and spread out the money to the point where there is not going to be this huge drop off that Sony has experienced every single generation end or every single generation transition. It's just going to continue chugging right along. And the services are going to make sure that, like, the money that's going out because they're launching a new console is just going to come right back in. So yeah. And then Nintendo Switch sales hit 36.87 million. And I believe this is your headline. You said that's like right on line with what PlayStation 4 was doing at this point in its life cycle. This is interesting, right? Because the Switch launched in March.
Right. So it's a little
PlayStation 4 launched in November, and yet the Switch is kind of keeping right up with it. It's pretty impressive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you know, if unless the Switch is really hit hard when PlayStation 5 and Xbox One come out, which, like, maybe they will be, but maybe not. I'm not really, like, that's something I'm not really super sure of. It seems like the Switch could be another 100 million seller.
Yeah. I mean, I expected it just to stay right on the course with PlayStation 4, especially because it's going to be easier for Nintendo to be like, here's a new Switch this year. So upgrade all you assholes who are our biggest fans. Buy this one and then either, you know, go ahead and sell your old one to someone else. So now that person's buying games, or hand it to a little brother and get them into, you know, buying games or whatever.
Yeah. I know this is like looking ahead, but I'm like going to be so interested to see what the next Nintendo system is like, because mm-hmm. it feels like it should just be something like the Switch again.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're not going to do that for some reason.
Really weird if they didn't. Yeah. It feels like they should just be upgrading the Switch for a very long time in the same way that Apple does with the iPad.
Right. But I feel like they're going to try something bizarro.
They do have a very long-term relationship in place with NVIDIA. NVIDIA's like, oh, we have a 20-year deal here. So they're going to continue making Switch-like devices, I think.
It just seems like the more they just do something like the Switch and can like keep closing that gap between what the difference is between that and like whatever the new Xbox is, it's just going to keep being popular.
Yep, it makes a lot of sense. Let's move along. Like I said, there's a lot of news, but we don't have to go too deep in any of this. We talked about this last week.
Doom. The Doom stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So when the Doom games launched on across a bunch of different consoles, the backwards compatible Xbox Live Arcade versions that were on the 360 that you could play on the Xbox One, they disappeared. Well, Bethesda's like, that was a bug. We're going to bring it back. And they've brought the games back. So now you can play Doom 1 and Doom 2. If you already own them through backwards compatibility, you still own them. You could re-download them. The thing about this story is Bethesda's had a lot of things lately where they're like, it's a bug. Please don't be mad at us. The thing with like logging into the BethesdaNet account on Doom 3.
Meme Factory, like, forces that turned you into.
Yeah. 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 And it's like, you know, people. Yes, that was a lot of good memes came out of that. But they're like, oh, we didn't mean to do that. It's a bug. It's like, OK, guys,
come on. It's a bug.
Yeah, I feel like at this point,
a design problem. It's not really a bug. There's no button. Like,
you know,
a bug.
Maybe don't even like have excuses, but don't even try to explain it. Just say you're sorry. We're changing it. Like, just say that. It's kind of like you're maybe crying wolf too many times. Even if it is a bug, in all of these cases, people are going to get sick of hearing about it. And the next time there is a Fallout 76 like issue with a game, people are just not going to have any patience to want to hear about any of your excuses. So they got to start being more careful with how they are launching these things in the first place, and then with how they're communicating with people afterwards. In my opinion, Here's a good one. The Outer Worlds is actually coming to the Switch. I'm like, that's a really good fit, but it's coming much later. I don't know. What's your interest level in this game? Are you going to wait for it on the Switch? I don't know. What's your thoughts?
No, I think if for these kind of PC RPG thing, I gave away that. I want to play it on PC, not Switch. Right. It's always kind of neat when it's on the Switch, but like I haven't played Skyrim on the Switch even. I'm not like I hear about Witcher 3 on the Switch. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Not how I want to play those games.
Yeah, I'll definitely play it first, right when it comes out on the PC, and then maybe I'll replay it on the Switch one day if I'm like, oh, I want to like try a different path because it's, you know, it's one of those games. Maybe I've played a little bit of Skyrim on the Switch, but no. When I really even think about playing Skyrim now, it's like, oh, I want to have the mods, and I want to go on and like, and not just like the Bethesda approved mods that you could do on some consoles.
Oh yeah, sure.
I want to get in there. I want to get dirty. I want to get wrong with this game. So I'm going to go get the real shit, the raw mods, unfiltered from the internet, Mike.
Jeez.
Speaking about unfiltered and raw, Garfield Kart, Furious Racing.
Furious Racing.
Furry. It just says Furious Racing, right? It's not even Furious.
It's not actually a pun. I mean, it kind of is.
I guess it is just, it says fur in there, but still, it's not like you can make it furry. Whatever. It's coming to the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. I guess it's not like one of these like free-to-play games. It's not even like a... I guess it is like a budget game. It's like $30, but still, I don't know. I'll play a Garfield Kart, whatever.
Yeah, what the heck, man? I mean, the screenshots are pretty funny because like the track just looks like a road. Like it's pretty bland. People, like the characters are just in cars. Yep. And they're not really, like, there's not like super, it's not like Garfield's in like a slice of lasagna or something fun, you know, it's just like a cart. It's funny. It's almost like they're in on the joke, but
yeah, not almost. Quite. Whatever that Garfield makes $1 billion or whatever for Jim Davis. So he doesn't care. Yeah, he doesn't have to joke anymore.
I talked to Jim Davis at one time when there was a mobile game, a Garfield mobile game coming out. Yeah. He's a nice guy, you know?
Interesting. GameStop. Still in rough shape. They are trying to turn things around. Yeah, they're trying to turn around. They ended up laying off 50 field leaders. I guess this is their term for regional managers, and district managers and HR and loss prevention managers is the whole list. You know, what can you say? Like the stock price has collapsed. It's gone from like over the last year or two, it's gone from like $16 per share to like $3 per share. They have a lot of work to do if they're going to turn it around. I maintain like if they can survive until the next console generation launches, they should see a significant bump, and that should be an opportunity where people want to go to GameStop to buy their new hardware. They know that they'll have it. They don't have to haggle, or they don't have to like go through the hassle of talking to some Walmart employee that doesn't know anything about games. People want to buy their hardware from GameStop, and so they're going to have a chance to be like, this is the new GameStop. Come to the new GameStop to get your PlayStation 5, and here's why you should continue to come back to us, even in our digital future. Who knows if they're going to actually be able to pull that off? It seems like it's like dire circumstances, and how can you really be like preparing for the future while you're still like just trying to like stop the bleeding? I don't know. Do you even go to GameStop? I just don't go to them. I haven't been to one in years.
No, if I do, it's because if like the only time is really is if I'm in the mall walking around, I'm like, oh yeah, GameStop's here.
Right.
And I go in there and it's like,
check
weird.
It out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, it's not like it used to be. It's be kind of fun. Like what games are out? Like I know what games are out.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Last story. GTA Online. It launched its latest update, which was a casino update. It had a bunch of casino games. I thought this was going to be like a big problem, like a lot of backlash. And there was some people were like, oh, you can't like buy micro transaction currency that you can then use in a casino game. That's going to be bad. And I think it like is actually like banned in some countries. But it hasn't really hurt the game. In fact, it's been a big boon. This was the biggest player count since launch for GTA Online, with the launch of the casino. And I get that almost. Like I'm like, I kind of want to go in there and check this out. That sounds like fun. Yeah. It sounds.
Oh, I have a guilty pleasure when it comes to casinos.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, and like doing that in an online atmosphere with like a bunch of other players, where like there is like something of an economy. That you know, that's yeah. I'll check that out. We'll see. But yeah, it's clearly that game is just chugging right along. It's going to be around with us for years. Do you think like what do you think GTA 6 is?
I think it'll basically be GTA 5, but like in Miami again, and it'll have another gigantic GTA Online component. I'm not sure like what's the next thing you can do with it, unless maybe GTA Online is much more integrated with whatever the single player thing is. I guess that would be the difference.
Right. Yeah. I
like maybe you there isn't like a super story-y main character. Maybe it is just your character for all the things, right?
Yeah,
and he's put into the cutscenes, and he is a voice actor or whatever. But like that, maybe that's it. I don't know.
And then I would almost expect them to be like, and then your GTA Online progress, everything from the first GTA Online continues. But I don't know. Maybe there's some benefit to doing a fresh start.
Might be a fresh start. I don't know.
It's hard, I mean, like, man, they've done so much to get that going, and it's doing so well. Like, I mean,
We're still a bit away from GTA 6. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, you're right. Still years away. All right. So that wraps it up for me, Mike. Anything else from you? Any other news stories that we missed you want to talk about?
No, I'm done.
Yeah, let's wrap this up. It's Friday. Let's get out of here. Why don't we go ahead and tell people where they could find you on the internet, Mike?
I'm Tolkoto on Twitter. That's Tolkoto. Please check out 90s Disney, my new podcast about Disney in the 90s, our newest episode about Tower of Terror and Sunset Boulevard and Disney MGM Studios just went up yesterday, so please check that out.
How's that going now, you guys?
It's going.
It seems like you guys are having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, having a lot of fun. We're growing it, you know, three episodes.
How's the monthly schedule working now? Have you guys gotten any feedback? Do people like that?
I think it's good. I think once a month. At least it works for us a lot because I'm doing it with my brothers with their families and kids and stuff, so...
And you know the topics you guys go over are not timeless. What's the word? But like you guys could like people can go back and listen to the backlog anytime.
Right.
And, like having it being monthly is like really easy to like. Oh, I can go back. I can binge all these. It's not like there's 500 episodes. So.
Right. Exactly.
All right. About Exploding Barrel. How far away are you guys from 666?
Oh gosh, I'll have to check that out. But yeah, that's the other podcast is Exploding Barrel. That's it.
Episode 666 got to be coming up soon.
Oh no! I'm checking that out right now.
All right, and I'm Jeff Grubb on Twitter and on Twitch and on YouTube.com. I am YouTube.com/Jeffrey Grubb. Hit me up, and you know, let us know if you like to stream it on Mixer. If you want to tune in, if you are listening to the audio version, usually we're going to be recording these on Friday. We'll try to stream them out live to Mixer. See how this goes, and if you're watching on YouTube later or whatever. All right, yeah, let's. Let's say goodbye, Mike.
Well, 521, so we have there's a way to go. Don't worry.
A couple years, then
we're safe from the reach of Satan.
Yeah, you guys will unlock a door to the underworld. All right, everybody, thanks for watching. Okay. We'll catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
We did it.
Where's this button?